Let's see what happens. Nothing. Well, who do we get? Let me see if I can do something here. I just need to make it work. It's up and everything. We had it up here and it went away. He's going to fix that. John, 6th chapter. There you go. All right. Thank you very much. Amen. I said we miss Pastor Meyer. He takes care of that for me. And I just realized that, you know, when I'm doing these, I keep saving these and all that mess. I need batteries. I'm out of power. And this isn't the original that I saved, but it'll work. And we're going to look at John chapter 6. Let's look at verses 15 through 21. While you're finding that, I don't mean to begin on a down note, but I want you to understand something. America took another step downward this week. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, we're pushing a treaty with Iran. I hope you realize any time we go against Israel, we're taking a step down, and we're going to suffer for it. Look back at history, and every time we've made a decision against Israel, something horrible has happened in America. God said way back when to Abraham, He would bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him. And I just believe God.
Amen.
And so I'm very disturbed about that. I have high hopes. Okay. That maybe the Congress will be able to stop it, but knowing politics like I do, I don't know. But it's a sad day. Listen. We were once the greatest ally of Israel, and Israel was the greatest ally of America. And over the last few years, that has really, really gone by the wayside. And we just need to pray for America. She'll get back in the right place, scripturally here, and be on the side of Israel. I'm not saying Israel's right in everything they ever do. Nobody is. But I'm saying there's a right side and a wrong side. And I want to be on God's side. John chapter 6, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now, get the picture. He's just fed 5,000 people. The miracle's over. The fragments have been gathered. He's afraid that because of what he's done, they're going to throng him and want more or whatever. And so he goes to the mountain to pray. And it says, and when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And let's pray. Lord, once again, as we come before you, we come humbly. We come before you needy. We come before you doing what you told us to do, to bring our request before you and come boldly to the throne of grace. And our prayer this morning is for your power and your presence to be experienced in this place today. We've come together, we sang, we had the offering, we had the announcements, we had a lot of preliminary things, good things. But Lord, we now come to the best thing, the preaching of your word, the declaring of what you've said, declaring of the principles and precepts of this blessed book. We know this is what feeds the hungry soul. This is what saves the lost soul. We're thankful for the book. And we pray now that as preached, that hearts would be attentive, that those who are here without Christ would realize their need and come to Christ before they ever leave here today, and that believers would be encouraged and helped spiritually by the truths of your word. Help me, help my voice. You know the need there. And we just ask for your will to be done in us, with us, through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Learning the lessons of our storms. You know, life is full of ups and downs, peaks and valleys, triumphs and failures, easy times, hard times. And in the text we've read here today, we find that very fact illustrated by the experience of Christ's disciples. As we see them now going from the mountaintop experience of the feeding of 5,000 to the dark valley of a boat ride, straight into the middle of a threatening storm. As we read this story, we discover that the circumstances faced by these disciples were completely out of their control. And yet these circumstances that were out of their control were perfectly in line with the plan and purposes of God for them. This storm was to be a great learning experience for his disciples. God was in the process here of refining these men for greater service later to him. Now, we as believers often find ourselves in the midst of storms, great trials, testings. We hope to be able to sail over the sea of life smoothly, but the fact is, storms are going to come our way. And what we must realize is that many times God will use our storms to teach us, to mold and fashion us, to bring us to where we need to be spiritually. Thus, we can be confident that while the storms of life are unpleasant and we would rather avoid them, they're going to come our way, and there is a purpose in our storms. We then, realizing this, have to come to that place where we strive to learn the lessons that God has for us in our storm. And so we're going to see here some lessons that these men learned in their storm. And by the way, we can learn some lessons from their storm as well. So let's look at the fact that we must learn the lessons of our storms. Number one, I want you to notice the design of the storm. We need to learn the lessons of our storms because of the design of the storm. You see, this storm they entered into really was a design of God. You say, how do you know that? Well, if you read some other accounts of the same story, you'll find out that Jesus actually sent them out. He told them he was going into the mountain to pray. He told them to go ahead and get in the ship and start across this sea. When Jesus told them to go, because he is omniscient, he already knew there was a storm awaiting them. Let me stop just a minute. You can't see tomorrow. I can't see tomorrow. I can't see next week, next month, next year, but I have a God who can. And Jesus sent these disciples out on that sea already knowing that they were going to come into a storm. Well, why did he let them go? Was he being mean and careless? No. He let them go because God had a purpose for them in this storm. See, God had to get their attention. This storm was by God's design, and I want you to notice something else about this storm. This storm was designed to show their deficiency. There was something lacking in their life. What was lacking in their life was their faith in Christ. You say, well, these were his disciples and they walked, yes, but they still did not have the faith they needed to have. And do you know how God builds a person's faith? Through the trials and tribulations of life. Listen, friend, I don't like the trials and tribulations of life, and neither do you. We wish we could sail that sea of life and never have a storm, don't we? But let me share this with you. If that were to be the case, we would never grow in our faith. See, it's when we're in the storm that we really, really, really have to look for Him. It's when things are going good and things are going well, we're kind of just sailing along, not thinking much about faith. But when we get in a storm, where's our attention drawn? So we need to understand, he was teaching them some things. The storm was designed because of their deficiency. These men had just seen Jesus feed 5,000 people. Yet their faith was still weak. And then thirdly, the storm was designed to show the darkness of their life. Listen, they got out there. Picture this. Probably when they sailed, the sky was probably pretty clear. There were probably a lot of stars and a moon and everything. But when they got in that storm, it became very dark. Can you imagine being out on that sea when all of a sudden what was starry and the moon lit and all that, all of a sudden the clouds begin to gather and the darkness enfolds you. And you can't see stars. You can't see moon. You can't see anything. You listening? But storm. The darkness surrounded them. And you know, when the darkness surrounded them, it made them realize the hopelessness of their situation. The darkness of the storm. Now, our storms are by design as well. And I want you to understand that. I said, we can't see tomorrow, but He can. And we cannot encounter a storm that God does not already know about. And we've said so many times, there are no uh-ohs with God. Have you ever had an uh-oh? What do you mean? Well, you're into something, you know, and all of a sudden everything's going wrong. You say, uh-oh! I was having a surgery one time, and I had to be awake for this surgery. And so they put this big thing in front of me. I couldn't see anything was going on, but I was awake. Oh, I don't like this. And the doctor and the nurses are on the other side, you know, doing their thing. And I said, hey, I don't want to hear no uh-ohs. But see, with God, there are no uh-ohs. We might say, uh-oh. We may say, I didn't know this was coming. God says, relax, child. I was aware of it before you ever got there. God has a purpose to accomplish through every storm we encounter. I love Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know, God takes everything, the trials and tribulations included, and uses it for good. So wherein you're in your storm, understand, it's for your good. You say, well, it sure don't seem like it. I'm sure the disciples didn't think this is for their good. They didn't understand at this point that God's doing something in our life. All they know is, I'm in a storm. It's dark and I'm scared. That's Southern for scared. They say it in two syllables. Scared. I'm scared. And you would be too if you were in that situation. By the way, you have been and you will be. You may not be out in the ocean. You may not be out where the waves are beating in your ship. But you will be in the storms of life where it's dark all around you. And all you can see is darkness. And you'll say, I'm scared. Just like them. But understand, God is working. The song says this, God never moves without purpose or plan when trying His servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. That's exactly what God's doing here with these men. By the way, our storms often come to reveal our deficiencies. See, oftentimes God will let us get into a storm so we will realize there's a spiritual problem in my life. Maybe it's a problem of lack of faith. You say, yeah, I believe God, I believe Jesus Christ, I'm saved, blah, blah, blah. But when push comes to shove, you've really lacked in this area of trusting Him. When you had difficulties and encountered things, you tried to solve them yourself instead of looking for Him. And in some instances, you were able to band-aid, so to speak, some of those issues. But God, listen, God's going to put you in a place where you can't fix it. How many of you have ever been there? You can't fix it. Your credit card won't do it. Your intelligence won't do it. Who didn't know that? Your personality won't do it. Nothing is going to do it. You cannot fix it. That's where they are. Have you ever tried to fix a storm? How'd you make out? How'd that work for you? I woke up yesterday morning. Man, there was a storm raging outside. I mean, it was rumbling and bumbling and lightning, all that kind of mess. You know what I said? I'm going back to sleep. I can't fix it. I can't do anything about it. And listen, sometimes you'll get in that storm, and it's a place where you cannot fix it. And God lets you be there because He wants you to learn to depend on Him. He wants your faith to grow. And so we see that God is working here in the lives of these disciples. And He's revealing some things to them, some areas that need work. Sometimes He wants to reveal to us a lack of faith. Maybe it's where we're away from the Lord. Isn't it interesting? This happened while they were away from the Lord. You know, sometimes your storm comes because you got away from Jesus. You've been sailing on your own sea instead of being where He wants you to be, doing what He wants you to do. And now you're in a storm. You're saying, boy, I don't like it here. Boy, this is rough. Boy, I'm having a tough time. I've been rowing, rowing, rowing. I'm getting nowhere. Maybe the light will come on. God's dealing with you. He's trying to get a hold of you. Your lack of faith, your distance from the Lord. Maybe you have some sin He's trying to get a hold of you about. Maybe it's disobedience. Maybe God's speaking to you about something and you're hard-hearted and you're just bucked up like an old mule. You know, you sing that wonderful Baptist hymn, I shall not be moved. And God says, hey, you need to take care of this. You got an area here you need to take care of. You're being disobedient to me. Have you ever heard of a man named Jonah? Remember how he got in a storm? You know why he was in the storm? Because God told him to go to Nineveh, and Jonah said, I'm going the other way. Listen, there might be a Jonah in this room today. God been speaking to you, and you decide, I ain't going in God's direction. I'm going my own way. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let me know how those storms feel. Because you're headed for it. God may have to send you a storm. Get your attention. And you know, oftentimes our storms reveal the darkness of our life. Some of you have been there. You've been in a storm. You can't do anything about it. And when you get there, it gets real dark. Are you with me? I don't mean literally. I mean it gets dark in here. Everything seems dark. You get depressed. You get despondent. You get in despair. The darkness just overpowers you. Because you're in this storm and you can't do anything about it. But listen, there's help on the way. And that's one thing we read in this story. They didn't realize it, but help was on the way. But see, God has to deal with them. He has to get them in the storm first. So we understand we need to learn from the storms of our life. Understand they're by design. None of them catches God off guard. There's something for us to learn. There's a reason for us going through this trial and this tribulation and this storm. And then notice secondly, the difficulty of the storm. Think about this. Don't you think they were surprised by the storm? Okay, time out. Who's on board the boat? That's not a trick question. Disciples. 12, right? Judas is still with them. 12 disciples. We know that at least how many of them were fishermen? I'll give you a hint. Good answer. 4. Julio said 4. Anyway, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we know we're fishermen. Fishermen know how to handle the boat, don't they? They grew up on a boat. They made their living on a boat. They knew all about storms and weather and all. So think about this. When they set out, don't you think they assumed this was going to be an easy journey? You think they would have left if they saw that there's a storm coming? You say, well, you said Jesus sent them. Well, I believe that if they would have thought there was a storm coming and Jesus said, head out across that sea, they would have argued with him. See, because they were carnal enough to do that. Just like you are. Did I say that? Ah. You never argue with God, do you? How many of you in here would say, I never argue with God? I'm glad nobody put their hand up. So I believe they were just carnal enough that if Jesus would have said, go over the other side here, they would have said, Master, there's a storm coming. But we don't have any of that. He said, go. They went. And I think they anticipated, no problem, we've done this hundreds of times. We know exactly what we're doing. Not a big deal. We'll just sail over the other side. Everything's okay. And then they hit the storm. See, and it was a very difficult storm for them. They say they were rowing and toiling there, trying to. It says, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they're in this storm and they're rowing. Now, I've been out on the ocean when it got a little rough. I wouldn't want to be in the ocean when it got a storm. There's a lot of power in that water. And here's these poor guys trying to row their way out of it. But see, one thing this storm revealed to them was the futility of their efforts. They had used their knowledge to overcome this storm, but to no avail. They tried everything they knew as sailors, but there's still no storm. They tried to row out of it, couldn't row out of it. Here they were, powerless against what they're dealing with. It was beyond their human abilities. You know, reminded me of this, that the storm also showed them the frailty of their lives. See, they're in this storm, and suddenly they realize, we're going to die. We're in a bad storm. We can't get our way out of it. You listening? We have no hope. We're going down. They had no idea what Jesus was going to do. They had no idea that he was going to come. All they knew was, we're out here, and this storm is about to sink us. We've done everything we know to do, and we're still in the midst of it, and it's only getting worse. What began as a normal trip may well be their last. You know, it made me think about our storms, and it makes us realize the futility of our human efforts. How many times have we done everything we knew to do and nothing's any better? You know, God wants us to come to that. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever been in a difficult place and you needed God to do something and you were doing everything you could, you were trying everything you could, nothing was working, and you were right on the edge of falling off that edge and everything going down, and right at that last minute, God steps in. And you know what you say? And you're thinking in your heart and you're saying, God, why didn't you do that sooner? Am I right? Why'd you let me go this far? Because he was trying to teach you something. He was trying to teach you to get to the end of you. Get to where you finally admit and realize, I'm at the end of me. This is out of my control. This is out of my power. I can't do anything about it. And when we realize that, then he can step in and say, but I can. You know, I thought about salvation. Isn't that where we have to come in salvation? You know, it's interesting. We find people who are using all of their abilities to try to save themselves from hell. We have people who are trying religion. Ran into a man yesterday, Harry and I, and we were trying to look up some folks to visit our church and talk to this one man. He said, I'm a Muslim. I said, well, are you going to heaven when you die? He looked back at me. He said, well, I'm keeping the rules. I said, well, what rules? Where are they? Well, I don't want to talk about it. He walked away and I said, 1 minute after you die, you'll wish you had listened. But there are people who are trying to keep the rules to get to heaven. You can't do that. See, nobody will get to heaven on their own account, by their own doing. The only way we get to heaven is by God's doing. And that's where we have to come to. That's why these people who say, no thanks, I got my own religion, can't get saved. Because they haven't come to that place where they realize and will admit, I can't save me. I need Jesus to save me. People try good works. Well, yeah, I'm a good person. You know, I haven't cheated on my wife. I don't kick the dog. I haven't stole any money. You know, I don't. Being a good person don't get you to heaven. Nothing you do can get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. In order to get saved, the person has to come to the end of themselves. A person has to admit, I need a Savior. See, that's why when we teach soul winning, we try to emphasize this. A person can't get saved until they get lost. That's very simple, isn't it? But it's fact. A person can't get saved until they realize I need saved. And so sometimes God has to let people in the storm to figure out, hey, I need something bigger than me. Someone bigger than me. So in our storms as believers, God wants us to come to the end of ourselves and realize there are some things I cannot handle. There are some things that I'm going to have to trust God for and rely on God for and look to God for. I'm going to have to come to the end of myself and just say, Lord, I can't do it. You're going to have to. See, because when he does, he gets the glory. Think about this for a minute. What if these fellows could row their way out of this situation? And they got over to the other side, and they got out the boat, and here come a bunch of people, and they said, wow, what, that was a storm, wasn't it? Boy, those waves were this high. You guys did a good job. And what would they say? Yeah, we did. Why, we're fishermen. We knew what we were doing. We rowed our way. That's not how it happened. See, when they got to the other side, and the people on the other side were so amazed, they even asked Jesus, how'd you get here? And what do you think those disciples told people when, how'd you guys make it out of that storm? Him. He did it. Huh? See, sometimes God wants us in a storm, and then when He brings us out, people say, "Hey, how'd you survive that? How'd you get through that? How'd you endure that?" Him. See, then He gets the glory. In the storms, they discover the frailty of their lives. In the storms, we discover the futility of our human efforts. And by the way, we also discover the frailty of our lives. See, when you run into that storm, listen to me, you realize how quickly things can change. You know, I've read about the Sea of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee. It's amazing to us that they would have storms like this, but it's known for these kind of storms, and it's known for these storms coming up this fast. They just erupt on that Sea of Galilee. It has to do with winds and things coming out of the mountains and stuff, but it's known for that happening. And so, here, you know, they're surprised by the storm, just like many times we're surprised by the storm. Listen, your life can change this quick. Sickness can come that quick. I speak from experience, and many of you know, a couple of years ago I went for a simple gallbladder surgery. Wasn't supposed to be a problem. And they did the surgery and they sent me home. Everything seemed fine. I was great for a week. The end of that week I came down with a fever, 105. She had to rush me to the hospital in the middle of the night. They told her, "You shouldn't have ever brought him. You should have called an ambulance. He could have went into convulsions or something." Middle of the night. They came in the next morning and said, "Oh, you got a problem. You got an infection. Okay. We're going to have to open you up. You're going to stay open 6 weeks." I had no idea how that worked. But they said, "You know, we're going to open you up. We're going to put a wound back on you and send you home and all that, blah, 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 blah." 6 weeks. A day later, they came in and they said, "You got another problem." "What's wrong now?" "Well, when we were in there, we poked two holes in your intestines." "Yeah. Now you got to stay in the hospital 2 months. And nothing to eat, nothing to drink at all for 2 months." Now, that didn't bother me too much because I could afford to lose weight, but I said, "No coffee? Can't you IV something?" "Nope, nothing." And so for 2 months, I had to be in that hospital. I could walk as far as the edge of the Triumph Hospital line and back for 2 months. I wore a path in the carpet. 2 months. You know one thing I learned through all that? The circumstances of your life can change that fast. Listen, there are a lot of people who could testify how they were just going down the road one day, they're living life, you know, and all of a sudden, boom! Life changed completely. Can be sickness, can be death of a loved one, can be accidents. How many times, and you know, you just think about this, we read about an accident or know about an accident somebody was in. They were just going about their business and all of a sudden something happened, boom, they're dead. Or boom, they're in an auto accident, they're crippled for life. I worked with a man one time. He went to a July 4th picnic. This guy was a drinker, you know, and I guess they were drinking and stuff. And he went to a July 4th picnic and they had an above ground pool, 4 foot pool. He decided to dive into it. When he did, he hit the back of his head and neck here and broke his spine and was crippled for the rest of his life. They got him to where he could walk, but he had to walk like this, and he had a hand that was like this permanently, and he talked funny. That quick his life changed. Listen. We can be sailing along, but we need to understand circumstances of our life can change that quick. And it brings us to realize not only how our lives can change, but how close we are to death. You know, we're one step away. We're one breath away from death. I'm not trying to bring bad news. I'm just trying to show you that we need to realize these things. These disciples, now they're understanding, hey, we could be dead in seconds here. We're perishing. You know, in our storms, we need to realize when things are going well, we're not thinking much about the negatives or what's ahead of us. But the storm helps us to think about. You know, I was thinking about Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Listen, we need to learn the lessons of our storm. Number one, because of the design of the storm. And number two, because of the difficulty of the storm. Number three, because of the deliverance of the storm. Verse 20. Aren't you glad that verse is there? But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly, boy, I read that. You know, I kind of chuckle at that. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Hey, we're in the middle of the storm, and everything's blowing around. We're about to sink. And here comes Jesus, who we know can calm the storm, who can save us. And it says, they willingly, what are they going to tell him? No, don't come. Huh? I chuckle at some of these things. They willingly received him. I bet they did. But we chuckle at it, but let me tell you something. Sometimes we're not so willing to receive him. We're in a mess and he wants to come our way and we're resisting him. We're not doing what we need to do in order to receive his help. I'm glad they were willing. Boy, he came down there and saved their hides. In the storm, they learned of divine awareness. I said, Jesus had constrained them. And you know, we read something interesting over in Mark chapter 6. It says, now listen, Jesus is on the mountaintop praying. The disciples he sent out to the sea. And in Mark chapter 6 it says, and when he saw them, he came to them. Think about that. He's up on the mountain praying, and yet he saw them. He knew where they were. He knew exactly what was going on. Listen, if you're saved, he never loses sight of you. That's why we rejoice in the verse that says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's a wonderful truth. So, he saw them in the time of their storm. He's aware of the situation. And then in the storm, they learned of his divine assistance. He came to them. He spoke to them. By the way, it's interesting how they heard his voice. And here's something I want you to realize. You ready? Jesus came in time, and he came on time. Here's a thought. Jesus is never early, and he's never late. He's always right on time. That's where he was for them. And they learned not only of his divine assistance, but his divine ability. See, if you read this, you'll find out he came to the ship. This is interesting, and I don't know why it's this way, but you know, we don't find him calming the storm. Anybody notice that? He didn't deal with the storm. He took him out of the storm. Hello? See, in another instance, he was in the boat. He was asleep. The storm came. They go and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He goes to the front of the boat and he calms the storm. Everything was okay. This time he don't calm the storm. It just says, when he got into the boat, they were at land. You say, what? I don't understand all the reasons why. But just understand this. He don't have to calm the storm. He can take you out of the storm. He don't necessarily have to deal with the circumstances that you're in, whatever's going on. He can take you out of it. And it's not a problem to you anymore. It's a storm that you've come through and you're on the other side of. And sometimes he'll do that. Listen, what I'm trying to say is he won't always calm the storm. Sometimes he'll just take you out of the storm. And praise him for it. He removed them from that which threatened them. And by the way, we learn from them, we need to recognize his awareness and his assistance. And we need to recognize God's ability to deliver us. You know something interesting about this? You know they heard his voice? There's a storm raging. Would you imagine the storm's noisy? But they heard his voice. Listen, things can be very noisy around us and raging around us. But if you'll listen, you can hear his voice. It is I. Be not afraid. Everything's okay because I'm here. By the way, when he's here, everything's okay. Learning the lessons from our storm. Listen, we as believers have to go through the storms of life. Our need is to see them as learning experiences, and we need to seek to learn that which God is trying to teach us through the storms. Too often we react like the disciples did. Try to make our own way out of the storm. And when that happens, we get frustrated, we get irritated, we get aggravated because we're not making any headway. Best thing you can do when you're in the storm, get your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. And let him speak to you and bring you out of your storm. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's talking, nobody's looking around. Storms of life. Boy, I wish we didn't have them. But on the other hand, I know how much we need them. Because in the storm, we learn. They're God's teaching method. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask this question. How many of you in this room, you're saved now, I'm talking to saved folks, and you're going through a storm right now? You've got the waves, the wind blowing on you. You've got a storm in your life, and you cannot handle it. It's more than you know what to do. If you're there right now, would you hold your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm there. I'm in a storm in my life. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. It's more than I can handle. Sometimes I think it's going to sink my boat. But, preacher, today God's speaking to me. And I see I need to put my faith in him and trust in him and trust that he's going to see me through this. And I need to ask him what lessons I need to learn." This morning, if you would say, "Preacher, I believe God has something for me to learn through my storms. I'm asking him right now, show me, teach me, help me to see what the purpose of my storm is. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up?" That's my prayer. I want God to show me what it is. So that I can just be obedient to him. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I've been trying to get my way out of the storms all by myself. Too long I've been depending on me and not on him. And God wants me to see that and admit it today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. God bless you. I've been depending on me and not him. I need to get back to depending on him." With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder if there's somebody here say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I've been trying to get to heaven by being good or having religion or whatever." Or maybe you say, I've had no idea how to get to heaven, but today I heard about Jesus. And God is speaking to my heart about my need of trusting him, my need of coming to him. Today I need to get saved. I'm willing to admit it. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Anybody at all in this room, God's speaking to you. You need to get saved. You don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, but you can know. "Preacher, that's me. That's me. Here's my hand." Let's stand together. Mr. Hunt's going to play a song of invitation. Listen, God spoke to your heart, and you have a need to come and speak to him, we want you to do that. As soon as she starts to play, and you need to do some business with God, you come. Just come and find a place and do business with him. If you're not saved, you come and shake my hand, and that'll let me put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady, and they'll take you to a quiet place and show you how to be saved. I don't know what God's doing in your heart here today, but I believe he's working in some hearts. I believe there's some folks who have been going through storms and trials and troubles. By the way, if you're not in a storm, get ready, because you're headed for one. You either just came out of one, you're in one, or you're headed for one. That's the way life is. And so in the storms, we need to learn our lessons. Father, bless the invitation. Help folks to come. I pray for those ones that are in the storms of life. And Lord, that we would be like the disciples and learn. We know it's a teaching method. We know it's a teaching time. Help us to be open and receptive to learn the things we need to learn through the storm. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come right now? She's going to play. Will you come? Will you come? God spoke to your heart. Want to do some business with him. Want to lay some things before him. God spoke to you. Come and speak to him. Come and speak to him. Listen, storms of life are not pleasant, but necessary. Storms of life are teaching methods that God uses. God never moves without a purpose and a plan. If he lets you go through a storm, there's a reason, there's a purpose in it. The sooner we allow him to have his way, the sooner we learn the lesson, the sooner he can get us out of the storm. Will you come? Will you come? Listen, Jesus didn't send those men out there because he didn't love them. He loved those men dearly. But he knew there were some things they have to learn. Just like he loves you dearly. But there's some things you have to learn. Sometimes it takes the trial. Sometimes it takes the hard place. Sometimes it takes the storm to come our way before we're willing to look to him. Before we're willing to listen to him and heed him. Will you come today? Folks have come. Folks have prayed. Are you saved today? Listen, please don't leave here without being saved. Please don't leave here without knowing that you're on your way to heaven and your sins are forgiven. In just a few minutes, we can show you how you can have assurance of your salvation. Will you come? God speaking to your heart, will you yield to him? Will you do what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do? Are you a Jonah? God's been speaking to you and you just running the other way. Will you come? Will you come? Brother Brian Walsh, would you close our service with a word of prayer?